up, everybody? Welcome to Lightning Bolts and Leather Jackets, where we take our concerns and questions about Christianity and figure out how to kick him in the teeth. I'm Victor Sassano, your host. Here we go. What is the word, Bluebirds? Welcome back to Lightning Bolts and Leather Jackets. Are you excited to get started? Woo! Let's go. This is the first episode, this is the introductory episode, to a new series. And we are going to make some waves. I have been seeing on social media and podcasts and in just regular conversations a lot of problems that the church is currently having, especially with young people that are either still in the church or young people that have left the church. And young people, I mean, like from teenagers to like 30s, because we're going to deal with millennials all the way down to Gen Z. With the criticism of what most people are calling purity culture. If you don't know what purity culture is, that basically means teaching Christians, young Christians, to abstain from sex or any other sort of sexual interaction or experience until marriage. It's a pretty difficult topic because it's multifaceted, because on one side, you definitely have the statistics and the Bible verses and everything to match up. Not having sex before marriage and not having sex, you know, with somebody else outside of marriage and the problem of pornography and all of these different things. But on the other side of the coin, you have people that have had really negative experiences with purity culture. Like, for instance, a lot of churches or parents, this wasn't my family or my parents or my church, but a lot of churches and families do not talk about sex at all. And if they do, it's in a negative light. Don't do it or you're going to burn in hell for all eternity. Don't do it until you're married, blah, 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 you know. And so when they get married, they wait to have sex till they get married, and then they have no inclinations of what to do, if they should enjoy it, if they shouldn't enjoy this, what's okay, what's not okay, and everything in between, not to mention the whole issue of bikinis or dress codes on the beach for youth group trips that I saw one of my friend's sisters posted something on Facebook just a couple months ago, and she was all upset. And she's an adult, and she was all upset about the youth group no bikini rule that she had when she was younger. And it's like this, and she like shared something that was being shared all across Facebook as like an apology from a youth pastor's perspective on that. And it was just garbage. And we're going to talk about all of it. But first, we got to take a break and go to commercial because I'm already getting fired up and ready to go. So I'll see you in a minute. All right, so like I said, we're going to do 4 episodes. This is the introductory episode. Then we're going to look at purity culture as it pertains to the man. And we're going to look at purity culture as it pertains to the girl. And then we're going to look at purity culture from a guy and girl together, whether you're dating in a relationship, whether you're engaged, or whether you're single, or whether you are... Well, no, you can't do single. Whether you're dating, engaged, or married, because in marriage, you're still supposed to have purity culture, you know, in case you weren't aware. It's just a different kind of purity. It's just not the no sex part of purity. It's a different layer. It's a new level. And I wanted to touch on the guys first after this episode, because a lot of this current culture, a lot of the recent generations are really focusing on the guy and his issues as it pertains to how it makes the women feel uncomfortable, or like they should still be allowed to wear bikinis if the dude, and the dude just needs to learn to look the other way. Or I've seen something about, which we will talk about, and I've seen something else about how men aren't actually as easily aroused by visual stimulation as previously thought. And we'll talk about why that is completely untrue, and we'll even reveal that women are more visual than they believe that they are. So have fun waiting for that episode. But just to give you a little bit of my background, like, Victor, why are you qualified to talk about this? Are you a single person? No. But I was a single person for 27 years, so I got that going for me. And my wife also was single for less than 27 years, because she's younger than me. And we both waited to have sex until marriage. Both of us have abstained and continue to abstain from pornography. It was never an issue for either of us. or I give you a little bit of that background to say that we have a healthy marriage. We have a healthy sex life. And that abstaining from the sexual experiences that we didn't have. We never touched each other inappropriately. We never sexted. We never did any of those things. I'm not trying to give you too many details. I'm just telling you, like, we didn't have to do any of those things. And we still ended up, because we pursued God first and we respected each other. And to my knowledge, any of the negative effects of purity culture have not infiltrated our marriage. And if they have, they've been dealt with. So, and we'll talk about how to deal with PCSE, post-consummation stress experiences. That's just a word. That's just a phrase I made up. It's like PTSD, except it's not as serious. And has to do with purity culture and feeling guilty for having sex if you're married. So we'll talk about that probably in the fourth episode as to how to be in purity culture as a married couple in a healthy way. And we're going to talk about the good things in purity culture. We're going to talk about the not-so-great things. We're going to talk about what it means to be pure in the eyes of the Lord. So for this episode, as an introductory episode, I want to talk about what purity culture shouldn't be, and I'm sure this will be expanded upon during the other episodes, but we're going to give you a little bit of what purity culture shouldn't be after That's in the Bible. Woo, we are back with That's in the Bible. It's been a minute since we've done a That's in the Bible segment. If you haven't heard what That's in the Bible is on this podcast, it's where we take a verse or a situation from the Bible that not a lot of people talk about, and we, well, talk about it. We've gone through stuff that's funny, stuff that's scary, stuff that's interesting, and, you know, we've covered everything from superpowers to poop jokes to erotic poetry in the Bible. And today, we're talking about Ezekiel 33, verses 8 to 9. This is God talking. When I say to the wicked, you wicked person, you will surely die, and you do not speak out to dissuade them from their ways, that wicked person will die from their sin, and I will hold you accountable for their blood. But if you do warn the wicked person to turn from their ways, and they do not do so, they will die for their sin, though you yourself will be saved. Now, it's interesting because this is in the Old Testament, and a lot of people want to harp on me already and say, oh, we're not under the Old Testament law, we're under grace. Shut up. Jesus didn't come to abolish the old law, he came to fulfill it. So that means that we are still held accountable for a lot of things in Old Testament scripture, especially things that are not culturally related, like the beards and the cotton thing. Like, those things we're not talking about. But with this is very important. And we want to be as gentle and as loving as possible, but sometimes aggressiveness is necessary as well, or at the very least, bluntness is. It's interesting to me that God would say, I'll hold you accountable because you know what's right, and you didn't tell somebody else who was doing the wrong thing what was right, and that they needed to stop and repent. And people take this too far. I know. They can stand on the street corner. They can pick it. They can turn into the Westboro Baptist Church. That's not what I'm talking about. But the verse still stands. It still stands the test of all eternity. Because that's in the Bible. All right. So let's talk about what purity culture isn't supposed to be. It's not supposed to make you feel like you are a dirty or a sinful person because you are sexually tempted or sexually frustrated. I know, especially as a teenager and especially as a teenage male, sex is constantly on the brain. And our society is saturated with it. You can't pass a billboard or scroll down social media without seeing something that will cause you to think about sex. And being tempted or seeing something and realizing that it invites sexual thoughts into your mind or that it even arouses you is not a sin. What is a sin is what you do with that. You can close the app. You can look away from the billboard. The Bible clearly says to flee from sexual temptation, as a matter of fact, in 2 Timothy 2:22. Run from anything that stimulates youthful lusts. Instead, pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace. And 1 Corinthians 6:18 says, run from sexual sin. No other sin so clearly affects the body as this one does. For sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. Oh, it says to run away from those things. Now, if you run away and you think to yourself, oh, I can't believe I had to run away. That's okay that you had to run away. That's not a sin that you experienced a feeling or a temptation that made you realize I have to not engage in this right now. Purity culture should not be about shaming you for having, for being tempted, and it shouldn't shame you for wanting to have sex. And to join with that, purity culture shouldn't tell you that sex is bad. Sex is wonderful. Guess what? God invented sex, and the devil would love nothing more than for you to believe that the devil invented sex, but he didn't. It was God's idea. God wants you to have sex. Plot twist in the confines of marriage between a man and a woman. There is literally a whole book in the Bible called Song of Solomon that is dedicated to how wonderful sex is when you do it God's way. And there's plenty of other verses in the Bible that are outside of Song of Solomon that back that up as well. Sex is not bad. Sex is not dirty or gross or wrong. It is wonderful and holy and fulfilling when you enjoy it the way God intended in the confines of marriage between a biological male and a biological female. Another thing purity culture shouldn't do is put ridiculous constraints around your life. I'm going to use the example that's sometimes a joke, but sometimes not, is like holding hands before marriage is like out of the question, or the meme that I see all the time, premarital eye contact. I really hope that's not real. But if it is, it shouldn't be. Eye contact is fine. Holding hands is fine. And we'll go into this more in episode 4 of this series, when we talk about establishing physical boundaries. But you shouldn't do anything that causes you to lust. But holding hands, I can't even deal with that right now. We'll have to talk about that later because I need to reestablish my point before I go down that rabbit hole. So let's recap before we get out of here. Purity culture can be good. Purity culture can be bad. What's important is that you do stay pure, and that's why we're having this series and talking about that. We're going to talk about overcoming of whatever negative effects you may have experienced as a part of purity culture, and we're going to talk about what it means from a standpoint of a man, a woman, a couple, and that at the end of the day, the Bible says that sex is good, and it was created by God. You've got to stay pure, and you've got to enjoy sex within the confines of marriage. And we'll talk about pornography and lust and making out and all that stuff later. But for right now, that's all the time we've got for today.
Until then, this is Victor Sassano encouraging you to be a bolt of fresh air.